Welcome to the 23rd episode of the Schaefer Creative Podcast. I'm Todd Schaefer, your host. My guest today is maritime painter John Stobart. John studied painting at the Royal Academy of Art in London and has enjoyed a long and successful career painting maritime paintings focusing on period harbor scenes during the Age of Sail. His work is iconic. And in his art, he is meticulous with the historical accuracy and detail that he puts into his work, and his final paintings are nothing short of stunning. John also created two seasons of instructional painting programs for PBS called Worldscape. These shows are available on DVD, and they are a great inspiration for outdoor painting. I caught John as he was finishing a painting for a big show in Palm Beach. John is 89 years old, and he's still going strong.
Right. I've always been known as a dynamo when I'm painting. You know, I get going really well. If I ain't got going really well, I stay at it and do a terrific lot. You know, I can, for instance, the painting in front of me now, I've got a lot of rigging to put back in it. I've redone the sky behind the rigging, but now I've got to put the rigging on top of that. And you must remember a fellow called Bob Ross. Who had fuzzy hair.
Yes, I remember him very well.
And he's very, very entertaining and had a very successful show. I used to watch it all the time.
Yeah.
And but it was really more of an entertainment than an instruction thing because I actually decided to do my own show after seeing him.
Ah, okay, so that's where you started Worldscape?
Yeah, Worldscape, and the Worldscape was a real winner, you know.
Yeah, it was.
And I, you know, I got a lot of accolades for that. And, but none better than myself, and I don't usually praise myself, but I thought they came out very well, and I was often with other people watching it, and they all—I saw how well it went over. You know, I mean it. the happy cloud here and a happy cloud there wasn't quite what I was doing. And you know, but anyway, it was very entertaining, and I thought it was a well done show, but it didn't give the student a groundwork in observation and
right.
Execution, you know, which is, it was all kind of a happenstance thing, and you invented the whole thing.
Your Worldscape series is what introduced me to plein air painting.
Yeah, well, that's what it was, yeah.
Yeah. So I watched both series. You had two. Did you do a third one?
No, I didn't do the third one. And we were very happy with how it came out. We had some terrific letters. If I get in a place where I can send you something, I'll send you one of the letters that I had. It'll make you laugh.
Yeah, it was a very good series. I watched that thing over and over and over again, and all your friends you had with you painting was very, very insightful.
Yeah.
So you gave me the courage to get out and paint.
That's probably the best thing I ever did, you know, because it did really get them out, and they could see it, the painting progress, you know, in half an hour or whatever it was, an hour, and it did the trick, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you had a companion book that went with it.
I did, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I had that too. That was very helpful because it showed you how to prep your canvases, how to prepare your palette.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've got one of those too, right?
Yes, I do.
Good.
I've got all your books, John.
Oh.
All your big coffee table books with the beautiful images and.
Oh, those are very nicely done.
So,
yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about your studies as a student in the Royal Academy?
Academy were very simple. It was mainly we were drawing from the model, and that's what the whole thing was about. Just we were because it doesn't take long to learn to actually draw, but the practice of doing it, you've got to stay at it and keep changing it and getting better, you know. And I thought that was terrific. But apart from that, there was very little. We were left to our own, and so we weren't put in the position of any plein air painting. Nobody came plein air painting with us. But we did have, on occasion, the academicians used to come and visit. They were supposed to come, and there were probably 40 of them. And they're various ages. Some were very old, some were quite young. It was kind of a club, you know, the Academy, the Royal Academy of Arts. So it was run by these artists, and they didn't have any particular bent to produce. You know, they hadn't had too much training other than the drawing, and so they were each individually, and you saw each individual character, you know, trying to do it and telling us how they did it, and they were all different. But in the process, we had a real ball, particularly with a couple of them. One of them was a fellow called Fleetwood Walker. And Fleetwood Walker, you can Google, and you'll see his portraits were very good. And he was a gruff little man, not very tall, probably 5'4" or something like that. He's a little guy, but he's got a very deep voice, and he used to embarrass the students as he spoke to them because he wanted to get a point across. And so his own idea was to shock them, you know, a little bit into what he wanted to hear from him, and the tips that he'd give them, you know. And I heard him. I remember one day hearing him from 50 feet away, and he was talking in low tones, but I heard everything because he had a deep voice, and he couldn't really switch it off, you know. And or switch it lower. And he'd say, you know, this is okay, but you know, just all kinds of comments of the drawing. And he was coming towards me, and he finally came to me. He came to the guy next to me. And that particular week, we had a model that inspired us because she looked like somebody, Ingres. Are you familiar with the French painter?
Yes.
Well, very refined line, you know, beautiful drawings, fabulous. And I had decided to do an Ingres of this model, you know. But I remember him coming to me, and I had not quite finished my drawing. And he says to me, he says, "Have you finished that?" And I said, no, not quite. He says, "Do you know what I mean by finished? When I say finished, I mean finished, ready for the waste paper basket." And this gruff little guy, you know, I really had immense admiration for him because he really said it exactly as it was, you know.
Yeah.
And we learned from that. It doesn't often happen, and it doesn't often happen anywhere.
No.
See, at the Royal Academy School, it didn't often happen that we would have such luck as to have Fleetwood Walker, because he did it for us. He did it for me anyway, and so that was the greatest experience I had there, and. And another thing was that while I was there, on one particular occasion, I'd been going outside the back of the Royal Academy Schools. Do you know where it was on Piccadilly? Have you been there?
No, I've never been there.
Well, to the back of the schools, it was a huge courtyard and huge buildings, and the academy was very enclosed. But we had a back door. On outside the back door was a street going along, and then a street coming right down from the north, which abutted that street. And on the corner, there was a guy called Jack Arthur Tooth, T-O-O-T-H. And he sold equestrian paintings. Paintings by people like Alfred Munnings. Have you heard of him?
Yes, I have.
Alfred Munnings and all the equestrian painting. And he knew royalty and had royalty stopping in quite a bit, you know, which would you'd expect that. And it was right, by the way, very near Savile Row, where everybody went to pay probably more than they would pay anywhere else. That was suit made, you know.
Yeah.
And so Savile Row was two streets over to the right.
Oh, wow.
And Bond Street was one street over to that. We're in the heart of this, right in the heart of London, you know.
Wow.
And Mayfair. And where all the wealthy, all the big shots are, the big stores. Anyway, when I walked by his place, I used to go, and he didn't want paint-stained people in there because he said, you know, I have some customers here and I don't want the students in here particularly. And so I knew that. But he was a nice guy. I befriended him. I thought Munnings was fantastic.
Yeah.
And I knew where he lived. And I'd been up to where his studio was. And it was right next door to where Constable's father owned the Golding Constable's Mill was right there, too.
Oh, wow.
Very near to where Alfred Munnings' house was.
Oh, incredible.
So I knew all of these places, and I'd sort them out in the week and went up there as often as I could. And when I had a car, my first car was a Morris Minor Traveller, which had wood on there, like a station wagon, you know. It was a little car, but fabulous, you know.
Yeah.
And so I used to go up to those country places and learn what I could from where they were painting and saw the landscape and the River Stour and all that. But anyway, when I was going into Tooth's, when he chain-smoked cigars, and he's a very nice guy, and chain-smoked cigars. So, when he varnished the paintings with mastic varnish, the odor of the mastic and varnish and his cigar smoke mixed was absolutely irresistible to me. I had to go in, so I was drawn into the place, and I said, "Where's that wonderful odor coming from?" You know.
Yeah.
And he, you know, after a few visits, he became quite familiar with me, and he didn't mind it when I went in. And so anyway, it was that odor though that got me in there. But
wow.
But the after he'd, you know, one day I went in and I had two sketches in my pocket of the coat I'd got on, and I'd done them on the south bank of the on the north bank of the River Thames, down at Charing Cross. I don't know whether you know where that is.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was where you could just put your easel on the stone abutment there and watch and have the Thames 3 feet away from you. And you could look right down at the St. Paul's Cathedral, sitting in the middle of Waterloo Bridge, which was big spans, three big spans spanning across the river.
Yeah.
And it was a perfect painting. And I did a little painting of it about 8x12, something like that. That may be a tiny bit bigger than that. Not more than 16 inches wide anyway. But I used to do small things like that, and I'd just rest the easel on the stonework and get this knocked out in about, what, an hour or something like that. And it was very, very enjoyable. And I'd have a tugboat pulling barges towards me, and it would be at that point the tide would be going out, and that's when the traffic went by to go upriver, because you can't tow something unless it's against the tide. You know, you've got to be against the tide, not with the tide.
Oh, I see. You know,
You wouldn't be able to steer it. You know.
Yeah. Right.
So it was. You learned all these things in a hurry, by the way, but it was so beautiful in that St. Paul's Field, with all the Wren churches around it, little white churches, and this big, great big church. That was London then. No high rise, no buildings more than 12 stories high.
Oh, incredible!
So it was staggeringly beautiful.
Huh.
I'd knocked out that and a couple of others that I had in my pocket. And he said, do you mind showing me the... I said, no, you know, and I showed them. He said, do you mind leaving them here a couple of days? I'd just love to look at those for a little bit, you know. And so I said, oh, yeah, I suppose so. I'll pick them up in a couple of days, you know. So that's what I did. I left them with him. Well, it was the following day that I got a call from Tooth. He wasn't supposed to call schools, and we weren't supposed to, because we'd be drawing in the life class, and they didn't want people, getting up and going out and answering calls or anything like that. You know, we're supposed to be working. So anyway. A call came for me, and I went down, and it was Tooth on the phone, and he said, Stobart, can you get over here right now? And I said, I'm drawing from the... He said, Stobart, just get over here, you know. I've got somebody who wants to meet you. So I dropped everything, and I went out the back door and over to Tooth, and here's a very immaculate gentleman in a very dark overcoat, and a tall guy, Queen's Counsel from Toronto, you know, and his name was John Meadows Marsh, and he introduced himself to me, and he says, what do you want for that? And he pointed to this sketch of mine of the three arches of the Waterloo Bridge with St. Paul's Cathedral sitting in the middle of it. And I said, oh, he says, not for sale. I said, you know, I didn't even think of it. Trying to sell it. He said, I'm saving it. I said, I'm saving it for competitions, because we can get a gold medal or a bronze medal. If we win, you know, and it encourages us to go and paint outside and get things done on our own. And the word plein air was not used then, of course. You know, you never heard of that name.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's... so whenever I hear that, I cringe a little bit, because mine was outdoor painting, you know, on-site painting.
Right.
That's what I call it. Anyway, well, this guy looked at me very quizzically for a moment, and then he, of course, being a lawyer, you know, he was way ahead of me, and he says, "What would you have wanted for it if you had have wanted to sell it?" You know, I hadn't thought of any money at all, and I had, particularly because of these, because I wanted to save them and try and win a competition with them. And so he says, my mind raced, and I thought, well, I'm living on £3.15 a week at this boarding house in Earl's Court. So I said, between 5 and 10 pounds. And he immediately delves into his big overcoat, huge overcoat. He had on a grey overcoat, very smart. And he brought out this wallet, which was huge. And I don't know whether you remember, but years ago, the 5-pound notes were way big things. You know, they were about 6 inches, well, more than that, 8 inches long, and about 6 inches high. You know.
Oh yeah.
And they were like something you could put in a frame, you know. And he took one of these out and he splayed out £7.10 right in front of me. And he said, "What do you take that for?" I said, "Yes, I think I will, yeah."
Your first sale. That's great.
Yeah. And so this event was probably one of the most exciting moments of my life. There are many others, by the way, but I always remember that one. And I can see it now. I can see it clearly now. So he became a friend. He wanted to know. And he took my address and I took his. He says, "If ever you come to Toronto, I want you to come and stay with me." You know.
Wow.
And that actually happened. And so he became part of my success in a bigger way than I could explain any other how. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
So I went back to the life class where I came, and I was a different person because, you know, of this event. And it's funny how the detail of that is still in my mind. I can tell what was on, I can remember what was on the wall as well.
Wow. Well, that sort of validated everything that you had been working towards, I guess.
It is a staggering moment.
Don't miss next week because I'm going to continue my conversation with John. Thank you for joining us on this edition of the Schaefer Creative Podcast. You'll find the show notes at schaefercreative.studio. Consider supporting this podcast at our Patreon page, and please share us on social media. Music is by Lee Rosevier.